How's everyone doing tonight? Come on. You know, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's freedom. Amen. I feel His presence so strong tonight. Hey, before I start, I just want to, I think my daughter might be watching tonight. My oldest daughter, I have four girls, four beautiful daughters. But my oldest daughter, Leah, just turned 29 today. And so, honey, I want to wish you a happy birthday, okay? Yeah. Speaking about daughters, the title of my message tonight is Going Through Valleys. And you could understand, as a dad with four daughters, I've went through some valleys. Might be going through some more, right? But with all that aside, I want to talk about a valley that we went through as a church, 2017, October 1st. And we had the shooting at the Mandalay Bay, and it was a horrific act of violence, and it caused a lot of damage in our church. And a gentleman by the name of Dr. Jim Gardner had contacted me after the shooting, and we had other people calling us, asking us if they could come and counsel us with a price tag of $10,000 to $12,000. And we're like, we're an inner city church. We don't have that kind of money, you know? And Jim Gardner, out of the goodness of his heart, he said, you know what? I just want to come and I want to help you. I don't want anything. I just want to help. I want a place of operation so I can come and I can counsel and teach your staff trauma counseling and how to counsel these people who are going through this hard time. And so as he came out here, he was an amazing man of God and is an amazing man of God. And me and him became very good friends, needless to say. And so we stayed in touch even after that. And he had a daughter, or he has a daughter named Rachel, who was born with cystic fibrosis. I don't know if you know what that is, but it's a lung disorder where it's very hard to breathe. And so this was back in 2017. Well, then about a year or two ago, it started getting progressively worse. And so he would contact me and say, hey, I need you to pray for her. Please pray for her. And so we, on Tuesday nights, we would lift her up in prayer. And our prayer team was always praying for her around the clock. And she'd get better, and then she'd get worse, and she'd get better, and she'd get worse. And then the beginning of April, she started taking a downward spiral. And he said, hey, you know what? I'm praying, I'm fasting, you know, I'm believing God for a miracle. And I said, I'm going to believe with you, Jim. And everybody in here was believing with him. And as he was believing for this miracle, he had such great faith, you guys. I mean, like, as a dad, I couldn't imagine that happening to my child. And for some of you that have that happened to, my heart goes out to you. But as we were praying for him, he says, I have this faith, I'm fasting. He fasted 5 days straight. And he says, you know what? God told me that even if she dies, I'm gonna raise her from the dead. That's how much faith this man had, right? Now, I didn't tell you, he comes from a Baptist background, so that takes a lot of faith for him to believe that he's gonna lay hands on someone and they're gonna be raised from the dead, right? And so I'm like, wow, God, this is amazing. Like, this guy is stepping out in faith. This guy is really putting his tradition aside, and he's saying, I'm going to believe God for the impossible, because nothing's impossible with God, right? So, needless to say, last Sunday, I received a text message, and it said that Rachel went home to be with the Lord. And it hurt, you guys. You know, the Bible says that when one part of the body hurts, the whole body feels it, right? So I'm feeling this, and I can only imagine. I can't say I know how you feel. I can only imagine. And as I'm going through these emotions, I'm picturing him in a valley. And then what happened is I started to reflect off of his valley through the valleys I've been through and the valley that I'm in right now. And so that's what I want to share with you tonight. I want to talk about the valleys. When we go through valleys, how do we get through them, you guys? Before I go any further, I want to tell you, I text Jim Gardner today. And I text him like this long text. And I just said, hey, I want you to know we love you and we're here for you. You know what this man of God sent me back? Thank you. We're doing all right. We got to get through the funeral. But here's what I want you guys to pray. I want you to pray that many people will come into the kingdom through Rachel's funeral. Yeah. See, somebody can only walk through a valley like that when they know they got a shepherd walking with them, right? And so that's what I want to talk about tonight. If you're not in a valley right now, praise God, but I'm going to tell you, I don't want to let you down. You're probably going to go through one eventually. Everybody in this room will go through a valley. But I'm here to encourage you tonight. I'm not here to discourage you, because see, when we go through valleys, we don't go through them by ourselves, amen? So I want to talk about some of the valleys that I've been through. One of the valleys I've been through, like I said, I have four girls and four beautiful daughters. And my second oldest, sweetest girl, she was my blonde-haired, blue-eyed girl out of all my daughters, right? She was the mother of all the girls. She babied them. She had my daughter Hope in one side and baby bottle in the next. And she just loved, she loved kids and she loved animals. And she was very nurturing. And growing up, she, how many people know that bad company corrupts good character? Right? Can you hear me? You got it? All right, good. So, needless to say, me and my wife were very, very strict parents growing up with our kids. And so we always had to talk to the parents and find out, well, do you let them go out in the front yard? Because we don't let them go anywhere unless we're there. I mean, we were really, really protective. You know, especially having daughters, you got to be very protective. And I think I might have been a little overbearing. My wife was the more, hey, you're too strict. You need to be kicked back a little bit, you know. I was like, no, I need to be more strict, right? So we balance each other, me and my wife. And so she, my daughter had a friend, my daughter Ashley had a friend of hers, and me and my wife, we conversed with the mother, and we said, here's our values. We don't let our daughter do this. We don't let her go with boys. We don't let her do this. We don't let her do that. And she says, oh, I'm the same way. I'm the same way. But little did we know that she was telling us one thing and doing the very opposite behind our back. And so needless to say, my daughter went through a hard time emotionally in her life, and the friend's mother that we trusted told her, hey, sweetie, here, just take one of these. It'll make you feel better. And gave her Oxycontin. And before my daughter could even realize what was going on, she was addicted. And needless to say, she, I'm just being transparent with you guys, you know, because I have to be honest. And she went to other things. Because, you know, that's the starter, right? That gets you in, and then all of a sudden, now you're running, right? So in 2010, I had an accident, and that's when she decided she was going to move out. She was 18. And so needless to say, since 2010, it's been hard, because for 7 years, our daughter was estranged from us, and we wouldn't see her on holidays or family functions, and it was like a part of our family was missing. And so I remember, long story short, there was a period of like 4 weeks that we didn't hear from her, and I didn't know where she was. And me being the dad that I am, you know, how many dads know we're the protectors, right? We kick in the doors and kick butts and take names, and we get our kids and we save them, right? That's what daddies do. And so I'm looking for my daughter and I can't find her, and I'm going through this valley, and my wife says, honey, you know what? If you don't surrender her to the Lord, it's going to kill you. You're not sleeping. You're not eating. You stay up all night worrying about her. And then I got to the point where I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I went looking for her one day, and I found her. And I hadn't seen her in 4 weeks. And when I saw her, I said, honey, come here. Come here. Get in the car with me. I need to talk to you. And I was saying, honey, I want you to come home with me, okay? Because I love you. You know, that's the Father's heart. Anytime he wants you to come with him, it's because he loves you. It's not because he's trying to take you away from what you're doing. He's trying to save you from pain that you're going to go through. And she looked at me, and I could even recognize her. And I said, honey, please come home with me. She says, daddy, I'm okay. I'm okay. I said, no, you're not. Please come home with me. And she got out of the car, and she took off. And I was in an angry moment. You ever been there? You know, as a Christian, you can be angry. But this anger, I didn't know what to do with it. And I was just like, God, where are you? Where are you in this valley? I don't see you. Psalms 22, verse 1 says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Remember Jesus said that on the cross? I didn't feel like God was forsaking me. I just said, God, where are you? I don't see you. I don't feel you. I don't know where you're at. And the enemy was telling me, where's your God? Where's this God that you say is always there for you? He doesn't even listen to you. And in that moment, I cried out. I said, God, help me. And I heard this voice, this little voice, and he said, Russell, worship me right now. Just worship me. And I said, God, I don't know how to give you more than I've given you. I've given you all I've got. He said, then tell me how good I am, Russell. Just tell me how good I am. I said, God, you're good. I know you're good. He says, why am I good? It's because you're faithful, God. He says, oh yeah, what have I been faithful to you about? And he started to replay all the things that he was faithful to me about. And I said, you know what, God, you are good. You know what, God, you are faithful. And all of a sudden, what I believed was coming out in faith. My circumstance did not change, but guess what? My circumstances were not changing me at the moment. God was changing me through my circumstance. As I was going through this valley, and God gave me promises, and that's what I want to talk about tonight. Zechariah 4:6. You got that, guys? This is what he said to me. He said, Zechariah 4:6, Russell, and I didn't know the address. I didn't know what it said. So I get on my phone, and he said to me, this is what the word of the Lord said to Zerubbabel. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord God Almighty. See, here's what the Lord was showing me in that moment. Through a promise, he was saying, do you understand? It's not by your might or your power. Your daughter is going to be delivered by my spirit, declares I, say the Lord God Almighty. You know what he did in that moment? He took all the pressure off of my shoulder because I was failing. I wasn't saving my little girl. You know what? The Lord said, because you're not me. I said, it's not by your might, not by your power, but by my spirit, declares the Lord God Almighty. Then he gave me another one. He says, I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. Her name's Ashley. I'm going to give you beauty for ashes. He gave me Isaiah 61, verses 1 through 3. For the spirit of the sovereign Lord is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim freedom for the captives and release from darkness for those in prison. To proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of the vengeance of our God. To comfort, say comfort, all who mourn. And to provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow upon them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, and the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. And they will be called the oaks of righteousness, a planting by the Lord for the display of his splendor. The Lord said, see, what I'm doing, Russell, is I'm removing the cloak of despair, and I'm putting on a garment of praise. Do you know, remember Pastor Ron said, some of you are one praise away from getting your breakthrough. You're one shout away from the walls falling down in your life that the enemy has built. So he gives me promises. And God answered our prayers for our Ashley. 2017, he did something miraculous in her life, and he gave her life. And he gave her a little girl, my little granddaughter, little Ava Marie. And you know what that little girl gave my daughter back? Her life. Something bigger than herself was given to her so that she had a purpose again. She named her Ava. And I said, honey, why'd you name her Ava? She says, Dad, that name means new life. God has given me new life with life. And I said, you know what, God? You're so good. Because it wasn't by my might, not by my power, but by the Spirit, declares the Lord God Almighty. And so by his Spirit, he intervened. And she's still a work in progress, but she is doing really good, you guys. The valley that I'm in right now is with my mother, sweetest woman I've ever known. 2015, my mother was diagnosed with a tumor on her lung. And long story short, the way that they revealed this to her doctor, it was very incompassionate. She didn't care. She's like, look, you just need to do a biopsy. We need to know if it's cancer, so we can either do chemo, surgery, and radiation. And my mom was like, and I go, Mama, what do you want to do? She goes, I don't know. And I remember about 2 weeks prior to her getting the results, Pastor Ron says, I have a rhema for somebody. That's why it's important to listen to what people are saying up here, because God's speaking to you. And he says, people perish for lack of knowledge because they don't know. And so when I found that out, I went and I researched the pros and the cons to biopsy and all this stuff, right? And this is just what God showed me. I'm not saying that this is what you need to do. I'm just telling you this is what God showed me. As I gave my mom all the pros and the cons about the biopsy and the treatment, and I said, Mama, what do you want to do? If it is cancer, what do you want to do? And she said, I ain't doing all that stuff. I'm too old. I'm not doing it. And I said, Mama, we're not going to do the biopsy because that's called seeding. If you're not going to do the biopsy, you're just going to spread it if it is. And she goes, well, then I just want to enjoy the time I got. So, needless to say, time is ticking away. And she's a trooper, man. She's a trooper. She doesn't complain. And I see the pain in her face. Mama, I said, do you need anything? She says, I'm okay, son. Mama, can I rub your back? See, it's a valley, you guys. We all go through valleys. Everybody in here is going to go through a valley one day. But as I was sitting, contemplating everything that was going on, I said, God, this isn't fair. Why? She never did anything to deserve this. She's the most loving person I've ever met. It's okay to ask questions. You're just not always going to understand, even when you do. But God, in His love and His mercy, He took me to a place in my faith and in my heart that I didn't want to go. See, that valley requires you to ask the shepherd to come into that valley with you. And like David in Psalms 22, I was like, God, where are you? And you know what he told me? Russell, everybody's valley, they're going to have to walk through it. You can't avoid it. You're going to go through the valley. You're going to go through the valley. Thank you, bro. You're going to go through the valley, but I'm going to go through it with you if you let me. Out of Psalms 22, David's crying out, where are you, God? Where are you? But in Psalms 23, that was my Grandma Kelly's favorite psalm. I read it at her funeral. But Psalms 23:1 says that the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And all of a sudden, those words became alive and they jumped inside of me and gave me hope. I felt like Jesus had put his hand on my heart and he said, let me shepherd you, son. Can I tell you tonight, God's saying, let me shepherd you. Why are you trying to walk through this valley all alone? Let me shepherd you through this time. Let me shepherd you through this valley. Jesus was showing me that people need to invite him into their valleys that they're going through, because guess what? When you invite Jesus into your valley, guess what you invite with him? All of his promises. All of his promises. And in this desperation, God is speaking to me about the very thing that I'm afraid the most. You know what I was afraid of? Losing my mother. I was afraid of even thinking it was cancer. I was just thinking it's allergies, whatever it is. And so I prayed for my mother that day, and then the Lord says, I want you to go in there, Russell, and I want you to speak to the very thing that you're afraid of. And I went in there, and I laid my hands on her, and I said, Lord, I rebuke this sickness. I rebuke cancer in the name of Jesus. I rebuke fear in the name of Jesus. And all of a sudden, my mom just looked at me, and she goes, thank you. And my wife told me later on, she goes, your mom looks like she's feeling better. And you know, every day that we're here is days of grace, you guys. Every day you're with the person that you're with in your life, you should be thanking God every day for that day, because you'll never get that day back. And some of us are wasting days. We're wasting time to say, you know what? I love you. you might not get a chance to say that to them. I don't know where you're at right now in your families, but if you're angry at somebody, please put that aside and be the bigger person and say, you know what, I love you. Because you deserve that, not them. You deserve that. Here's the promise, you guys. God wants to start a new chapter in your life. He wants to take you from a place of desperation into a place of revelation of the shepherd. He's the good shepherd. And we're going to read about how good he is in Psalms 23, verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures beside quiet waters. Stop right there. Beside quiet waters. Psalms 46, 10 says, be still and know he's God. What does that mean? That means surrender what you're holding on to and give it to God. And in that moment, he's going to give you peace. He's going to give you clarity. And then it says, he'll make you lie down in green pastures. He refreshes your soul and he guides you along the right paths for his namesake. Even though we walk through the darkest valleys, we will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they're there to comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and your love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. See, there's a promise. He takes you and he leads you. See, it's but a shadow what you're going through. It's not real. I mean, it is real, but guess what? God is more real, right? There's also a promise in Jesus gives, and John talks about in Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 through 17. It says, now let me give you a paraphrase of what's going on. John's having this vision, and he sees all these people with these robes, and they've dipped them in the blood of the Lamb. They're all white. And so one of the elders asked John, who are these people? And this is where we take off. And I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation, and they have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore, they are before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he who sits on the throne will shelter him with his presence. Never again will they hunger. Never again will they thirst. The sun will not beat down on them, nor any scorching heat. For the Lamb at the center of the throne, mark this in your Bibles, will be their shepherd. He will lead them to springs of living water, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. Every tear from your eyes. Some of you here tonight are barely holding on, the Lord told me. Some of you are like, man, I'm just trying to make it through today. I don't even think about tomorrow. Can I tell you something? Even though you're barely holding on, you're still here, praise God. You're still here. Galatians 6:9 says, if you do not grow weary in doing what God has asked you to do, you are going to reap a promise. You're going to reap a harvest. You're going to reap a blessing. God cannot be mocked. Somebody here tonight, you need to hold on. You need to let go and you need to hold on to Jesus is what you need to do. Because what you're holding on to is pulling you under. See, I believe that what heaven is saying tonight is Jesus wants to shepherd everyone in this church tonight. And he wants to lead you to springs of living water. He wants to remove your tears, your fears, your pain, and your stain from past tribulations in your life. He wants to start a new chapter. See, chapter 22 was, God, where are you? But chapter 23 is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. See, God can't start the new chapter till you put a period at this one. You got to stop where you're at to start a new chapter in your life. Amen? So tonight, before I pray, there's some promises up here, you guys. And as Lauren is going to continue in worship, I'm going to pray real fast. I want you to come up here. There's a promise in here for everyone, and I'm going to tell you, promises are something that God gives us. It's your inheritance. You've got to hold on to your promises. Because guess what? That promise that Jesus is going to walk with you through the valley, can I share something with you? I promise I grabbed one before I even came up here. And look what I grabbed out of all the ones. Psalms 23:4, even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff are there to comfort me. I love Jesus because he's so faithful, you guys. See, there's something that you're holding on to tonight. I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's depression. I don't know if it's anger. But it's holding you back from letting him be your shepherd. It's holding you back from receiving a promise. These promises are yes and amen for his kids. So tonight, we're going to pray. If you just bow your heads with me. Lord Jesus, I just ask for the Holy Spirit tonight to release. It's already here, Lord. Just start to release your anointing to heal people in this room. And I even pray for those online, God, that you would start to just release healing from past and present trauma of pain, betrayal, loneliness, rejection, anger, and fear. Lord, I pray the prayer of David, even though we walk through the darkest valleys, we will fear no evil, for Lord God, you are with us. Your rod and your staff are there to comfort us, and you have prepared a table of provision for us in the presence of our enemies, and you anoint our heads with oil, and our cup overflows. I pray that your goodness and your love will overflow all the days of our lives, and that we will all dwell in the house of the Lord forever and ever. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.